this is Gray Cook, and welcome to Gray Cook Radio, where I talk with my favorite publisher about the questions that we've generated from our work.
In a recent article on graycook.com, The Weakest Link is the article I'm talking about, you wrote about using correctives in the warm-up. It seems like balancing corrective work with training is a common question. At what point do you reintroduce sport training? Is this after the movement screen is clean?
Oh, no. Greg Rose would be the first one to differ from that. You never stop working on the golf swing. Even if you can't squat, you never stop working on the golf swing. And a lot of people look at the performance pyramid and say, oh, my God, my screen's never going to be acceptable. I can't work on my skill set. That's not what we're saying. What I would say to a golfer who couldn't get his left arm over his head, we're going to putt. We're going to do some small swings, but any big swing that would take you into that range of motion you don't have is only going to distort your golf swing. So I literally want people doing everything they can possibly do that makes them happy and works on what they want to work on without compounding a bad movement pattern. We want you to work on your skill. We want you to do everything you can possibly do that you enjoy. And we want kids to practice their sport, people to do their hobbies. We want you to do everything you can do. The only time that we're going to probably throw a red flag is when you're doing a skill or an activity that uses a movement pattern that produces pain or that you scored a one on. That's where we sort of draw the line. One is dysfunction. Two is average and barely acceptable. Three is near perfect. So we got perfect, imperfect, and dysfunctional. And I see a lot more people debating perfect and imperfect in our FMS workshops than I do focusing on the dysfunction. I hate to say this, but statistically, I'm going to almost lump the twos and threes in the same category. If you get twos on everything, no asymmetries, and you're having some big problems in your sport, I probably won't blame movement as one of the biggest problems. You have an adequate movement base. Could it be better? Absolutely. Secondly, when you choose to become elite at something, you want to go win the Ironman or win your weight class in a wrestling meet. If you've got an average movement screen, that's the platform for your performance. So, you know, I just tell people an average movement screen is great if you're middle of the pack, and if you're playing average golf, running average 5Ks, hiking and biking and doing all that, the minute you want to go from good to great, you've got to also consider the movement patterns, the fundamental movement patterns that are going to support your function, and then the movement patterns that look like your sport. That's where I think a lot of people make a mistake. You don't have to have a perfect movement screen to work on a skill. Let's break the movement screen down and just say, as long as you're not hammering on a skill that uses that pattern, you can do skill training and strength training and performance training. You just might not be able to compound that pattern. So let's say everything on your movement screen is acceptable, but your deep squat is a one. Then I'm going to tell you, don't stop training your legs, but don't load your squat. You still want to train your legs? Fine. Let's do deadlifts, split squats, walking lunges, single leg work, that's all fine. But something happens when you put both feet in squat stance and try to move in that plane. You just don't connect the dots. So why would we load that pattern? But you don't have to sideline your training. We simply ask that please don't compound a movement dysfunction. It will not get better by pushing the levels of intensity higher. It gets better by basically finding out why it's not present, mobility, stability, underlying issue.
So what you're saying is I can just do my correctives and then I just go into my workout. Is that what you mean?
You could definitely do that. Or let's take, for instance, that example I gave you where the squat is definitely deficient. We have a bunch of squat correctives that you could do between sets. So even though you might be on leg day and wish you could squat, I'm going to have you doing squat corrections. Well, you don't just call that your warm-up. You've got 2 to 3 minutes between heavy leg sets where you're just walking around, looking at posters, drinking water, and checking your text messages. Do your squat correctives there, too. Use your legs, reacquisition the squat pattern. Use your legs some more, reacquisition the squat pattern. for me, any opportunity is movement prep, not just the first 10 minutes of your workout. Secondly, in your cool down, if you've been doing things well, both in your prep and in your workout, your prep has made a movement pattern better and your workout has not made it worse. What you should see is whatever movement screen test has been deficient on you, it should look better at the end of your workout. And that's a combination, and I'm going to restate it. Your corrective will make the pattern look better, and your workout will not compound it or make it worse.
You lost me a little bit there. Does that mean we don't need to stay out of the biggest problem areas in the screen?
Yes, you do. You're only doing correctives on those. But you're hitting any pattern that's symmetrical and at least a two with whatever workout you enjoy. Because your pattern should not get worse if you're doing a corrective and not hammering intensity on the bad pattern. So let's say your only issue, Larry, is shoulder mobility. You won't be doing any heavy pushes or pulls or especially no overhead pressing. But you could be doing deadlifting. That's a lot of shoulder stability. We may have you doing some double arm low pushes or rows or something, but mostly we'll be doing a core and leg workout. And at no time, if we're doing your shoulder mobility correctives and your core and lower body workout, should we see your shoulder mobility actually get worse at the end of a workout. If it did, you were doing something wrong. So at the end of every workout, I don't expect you to have your deficiency fixed, but if it looks worse, your workout is part of the problem. If it looks worse at the end of a workout than it did just sort of baselining your little test, little self-check, your workout may be one of the things responsible for your movement pattern issue.
Okay, well, we'll be thinking about that stuff, and meanwhile, we'll talk to you next week.
Perfect. Thank you.